Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you want a home in the Central Florida area for any size family to visit Walt Disney World, Universal, or any of the other Orlando attractions, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at any of the DVC properties at Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Hawaii at Alani, Hilton Head Island, Vero Beach, or any of the other Disney resorts, contact DVCByRequest.com. Again, David's Vacation Club Rentals, DVCRequest.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter at any of the Disney World resorts, contact Scooter Vacations at ScooterLando.com. And last but not least, our great friends over at American Tourist Travel. If you want to book any Disney travel vacation, contact us at American Tourist Travel. I can help you personally. We also book anywhere else in the world you want to go. So please, guys, if you want to check out any of our sponsors, head over to our website. It's all in WDW. Now we're going to hop on the train and head over to the pub. Have a great day.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Everybody, welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy John. Hey, John, pull up a stool.
Thanks, sir. How are we?
I'm doing well. You kind of skipped the beat there, but I'm glad you're on.
Yeah. Just fine. How's New Jersey?
New Jersey's hot today. It's like 87 degrees, 86 degrees.
Yeah, about the same here. I think it's 90, something like that, so you're not far away.
When it gets that hot, John, it's hot. You know, that's what I've been saying for years.
At that point, it really doesn't matter anymore, does it?
Yeah, it's like, do you fry in 95 or 98, or what's the difference?
There's going to be a difference here next weekend. It's going to be, I think, on Memorial Day and Sunday before, it's going to be 99 to 101. So that's a bit extreme for us, because the thing is, I don't think we're going to have our humidity. We've got actually a high coming in. It's going to sit on top of us. That's going to really raise those temperatures. But I think the humidity is going to hang out around probably 60 or 70% instead of 100%. So that's not going to be miserable, but it is going to be hot.
Well, it sounds like it, John. I feel bad for you.
Yeah, no afternoon thunderstorms next weekend, so...
Yeah, and they're what save you guys. As long as they're not too bad.
You got it. That's why we never approach 100. We usually hang out right at 96, 95, 96, but get them afternoon thunderstorms, cool it off, and it doesn't look like we're going to skip a week or two without that. So.
Nah, that's pretty nasty. So you're recording today in the parks. So did you hang out at Animal Kingdom or did you leave there?
I left there, and we'll say I'm at Walt Disney World. We don't necessarily have to say I'm in the parks.
So give me a hint.
Well, let me see if I can find something that might give you a clue, if you can hear something. I can't hear that one. Let's see. I'm by the water.
You didn't head over to my resort, did you?
No.
The one that the French Quarter version of it?
No.
Are you down at the springs?
Quite possibly near the springs.
Oh, Saratoga Springs?
Yes. If you were at the springs and you're over at Cirque du Soleil, or what I guess used to be Cirque du Soleil now, J-Lo and stuff like that, if you looked directly across, there's a little gazebo that sticks out at Saratoga Springs, little white gazebo.
Okay.
I'm sitting in the little white gazebo, and my wife had this great idea for me to come over here and record from here, because it's a beautiful spot. You can actually hear the boats come by and stuff. Except for, we didn't realize there's no benches in this gazebo, so I'm sitting on the ground.
Oh, Jesus.
Recording a podcast.
They're like, I could see the people now walking by saying, who's that knucklehead, mommy, sitting on the ground over there?
But there it is. So yeah, I've got your boats going up and down the Saskatoon.
I can hear them, actually. So. You can actually hear them.
There you go. Yep, there you go.
Which I love.
That was
my
your
boats.
Horn. That's what I was. Yeah, that's what I was waiting for, was the horns. So I figured you'd know right away when you heard the horns. So.
Nah, they're phenomenal. They're my favorite. You know that. Them and the.
Yep.
Them and the friendship boats. And speaking of friendship, you had all kind of friends visiting you this weekend, didn't you, John? And this week.
I sure did. Saturday and Sunday of last week, Brian and Carmen from Peas and Carrots came by and said hi to me both mornings at Festival of Lion King, so it was great to see them. Thursday, I met up with Judith. Lisa and I met up with Judith and her son Jason at Epcot to have dinner at Beer Garden. They came by yesterday, Saturday, to the Lion King show. Somebody might have got them really good seats. I can't imagine who that would have been. But
it had to be one of the other cast members. I don't think you could have did that.
It had to be. Nobody's got that kind of pull around here. But I believe rumor has it that Judith got picked to do the elephant section.
That's awesome.
So she got picked to lead the elephant section. All right, so you have a 20-something-year-old son. You just got picked to do the elephant section, and what does he do?
What's he do, John?
Neglects to take pictures. Really?
Yeah.
Come on, Jason. Come on, buddy. But so she didn't get any pictures of her being the elephant for the section, which is a shame. But nonetheless, I know she had a great time doing it. And after that, one of my buddies from my Diz Dad's club came by and said hi to me too, David Gale. So it was a quite a fun filled weekend of running into people. So a lot of good buddies I met up with. So.
It sounded like you had a really good time. I'll be honest with you. And I hate that saying. My brother has me saying it, and it's really pissing me off. It's my
Lisa
new...
says the same thing, and I cut that out ever since you have to say that. You're not honest all the time. So
exactly.
I'm trying to cut it out, but there we go.
Yeah, my brother keeps saying it all the time, and it's driving me nuts. And now he has me saying it. And at the end of the day is the other one I hated. You know, it's like... But, no, he says...
That's Bob's. That's
yes,
Bob's.
Exactly. Yeah, that's Bob's. And it rubbed off on me. I hate both of them. Like, my brother will go... He starts every conversation. Well, to be honest with you, well, you always should be.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, I was really jealous, John. I wanted to be down there with you guys. You know. And
Yeah. We had four people at the eight top person table. So if we would have had you and Brenda there, and I don't think it would have been Peas and Carrots cup of tea, but you and probably not Brenda's cup of tea either. So.
No, it's definitely not Brenda's cup of tea. But you know what? She would have took one for the team.
Yeah, she could find something healthy, halfway healthy on there to eat, I think.
Yeah, but it was wonderful seeing all you guys interact, our Disney family. I mean, do you believe Judith finally went over and gave us a review at iTunes, John, this week?
Holy cow. Maybe next thing I can talk her into is maybe leaving a comment for a cast member or something, you know? That would be nice, you know? So,
100%.
Yeah, it's about time, Judith. About time.
I was pretty shocked that it took this long. I guess she was trying to really figure out if she liked us or not.
Yeah, sooner or later, right?
Yeah, but it said, my favorite podcast. I have listened almost from the beginning. John and Doug tell it like it really is. They are both two of the nicest podcasters around. They make me laugh and yell at them every show. Doug rants are epic, and John is the fun one.
There you go.
And while we're on these, John, again, guys, thank you so much. These really mean a lot to us to do these reviews over at iTunes. I know they're a pain in the butt, but they really do help us out. It lets us know you're listening, and you do appreciate the show. And even if you don't, let us know, like, what is Mouse World ATV, our only negative one. Anyway.
You can't get over that one. I think you mentioned that one more than any because
well, I'm just saying, I still will take it. Either way, Hey, he gave us four. For him, that's like
okay,
eight.
Four.
He gave us four stars. In his world, that's eight. So I'm happy about it.
You know what I'd hate to see? I'd hate to see if you left us a review, Doug.
No, absolutely. It all depends on what mood I was in.
There you go.
And this is Lisa from North Jersey. I cannot get enough of listening to your podcast. So entertaining and real. It's like I'm sitting right next to you guys at the pub. Laugh out loud. Going in August with my husband and three kids. Is it worth getting the dining plan? Any restaurants suggestions in each of the parks? Thanks again. So.
Well, that sounds like that might be a podcast, Doug. That might be an episode right there.
Yeah. So maybe this week we'll have to sit down this week or next and we'll go over everything With the kids, I don't think that – and I know Pat will disagree. Unless you're going to spend a lot of time at the resort and use the mugs, then it's worth it. But with the three kids, I don't know if it's really worth it, depending on what they're going to eat. You know what I'm saying, John?
It really depends. That one would really depend on character meals. I mean, if you plan on doing character meals and stuff like that. But really, I hate to say it, but the only way that you're going to know for sure is to do the math yourself.
Yeah,
and where you plan on eating. Holy cow. Hold on a second. We got a helicopter coming over.
Magnum P.I.?
Yeah.
Hawaii 5-0?
Inspector Gadget, somebody.
No, but we'll go over it. We'll think of a restaurant in each park. I mean, off the top of my head, I think at Hollywood Studios with the kids, you know, 50s prime time or sci-fi dine-in theater, depending on what menu they like. But or both. I mean.
Oh,
yeah, go ahead, John.
Yeah, I was going to say absolutely, unless they're – did she happen to mention how old the children are?
No.
Okay. I mean, if they're young kids and they're really into that Disney Junior stuff, even though the food's not the best, Hollywood and Vine would certainly be an option if you're looking for those meet and greets with some of the Disney Junior characters.
Yeah, that's a good tip too, John. And I mean, over at Epcot, it's kind of hard. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Tusker House for the kids would probably be good at Animal Kingdom. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. There's, again, Donald and I think Daisy there in their safari outfits for meet and greets for that. So that's a lot of fun. But even Yak and Yeti, I think.
Well, the menu is
such a wide selection.
Yes.
Absolutely. So you would certainly find something for everybody. And don't be afraid because you think maybe it's Asian food. No, there's such a giant selection on there. You can find everything for just about any picky eater. So
anything and everything. So 100%. And Magic Kingdom, you know, Be Our Guest is probably the restaurant everybody wants to go to at least once. So, but it isn't, you know what I'm saying. It isn't a must, but that would probably be the one there. And Epcot, it all depends on what your kids like. That would be the hardest one, in my opinion.
Epcot, it really depends on the age of your children and stuff like that. I mean, and if you have picky eaters, I would certainly look into the rotating one. Is that the one in the land?
The Garden Grill.
Doug,
the Garden Grill.
Garden Grill. I would certainly look into that one because that's a Chip and Dale meet and greet, and they have pretty much just family style. I think they have a lot of normal food. So.
And if you have girls, I mean Norway for Anna and Elsa for the character dining.
Well, perhaps girls or perhaps an older teenage boy. Yeah. He wouldn't. Yeah.
Hey, John, come on. It's a family-friendly show here, John. I'm kidding.
Hey, I'm just saying.
No, I'm just saying. She has three kids. So anyway, Lisa, know what? Lisa from North Jersey, thanks so much for your review. And if you could, drop us an email at wdwmmsmpodcast@gmail.com. Send us an email and give us your children's ages and everything. Give us a little bit more of your itinerary or more information on the trip, and we'll do a show to help you. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And for going that, if nothing else, join our Facebook group, the WDW Main Street Pub. Send an invitation to that, or get invite, and we'll accept that invitation, and you'll be part of that. And there's some great advice you can find from all the members on there, and we'll be happy to respond to you on there too. So
100%. So thank you guys so much. The reviews really mean a lot to us. I know you've been asking for them, and we've been getting them, John, lately. So thank you guys very much. Speaking of food, John, as we're on it, did you hear Casey's Corner cut out the footlong hot dogs?
Yeah, I saw that story. That's a little strange, isn't it?
Yeah, it has to do with money, John. They probably make more money off the small ones than they do the big ones.
I suppose, but I don't know. Maybe they finally figured out there was people only buying those and cutting them in half and sharing them. So
again, money.
Yeah, well,
100%, John. You know. And speaking of money, did you see Disney bought Hulu or part of Hulu? Or and for some reason, Universal and Comcast is involved in that. So there's a lot of webs that are being weaved around there, John.
Yeah, and I'm hoping with all this stuff gets worked out that you would see the Marvel characters freed up. That would be great. But just the mere fact that they still have them over at Universal and the attractions is going to be a hard – that's a hard nut to crack to get them to let loose of them. But it would be great just to see Disney take full control of all that stuff.
Well, for them hurting so much, they're really starting to – they're really taking control of a lot of stuff. So
hurting.
They keep raising prices and they keep buying stuff, John. And do you hear about Robbie talking about out in Disneyland? There was not even any parking for anybody. And then we got Keith talking about our buddy Keith from the Tiki Talk podcast. Do you see they took away? They're taking away your discounts if you buy on Shop Disney from your annual pass now.
Well, that's not surprising, I suppose.
But why isn't it? Like, why are they? Like, why do they have to take every single freaking thing that away from us? Everything. Like, what advantages do you get anymore?
Well, you get to go to Disney.
Yeah, that's about it. And I know you're part of the Kool-Aid down there, John. So I know you can't get too aggravated, but I can get aggravated enough for the both of us. We know that.
Well, given the choice, I mean, I have to toe the company line a little more than you do because somebody signed in my paychecks and he's got whiskers. So
yeah, but the point I'm making, John, is they just keep. I mean, Keith is like, what is the advantage of an annual pass anymore? I mean, they just keep taking everything from it. The days he can go, when he can go, why he can go, percentages. And then me and you disagreed off the air, which doesn't happen often, was also the whole deal on now the Magic Bands. They're finding a way now to upsell you is basically what it is if you want to buy another Magic Band instead of the one that they send you for free. They want to charge you like I think it's $12 for so it's like what is it $8 off or something, John? I'm not sure the exact numbers. I got to look it
back
up.
I think it's 16 that you can get the $24.95 bands for. So it's like $9 off or something of that sort, somewhere in that vicinity.
But it's a way for them to make another $16.
Yeah, we definitely disagree on this one because I don't have a problem with this. Every time I book a trip, I get the Magic Bands in the mail or either I decline them altogether, and yet I go out to the parks and find another one that I like and I buy that. So
what about
is the problem with me saving $9?
Well, what about they do this, John? How about they just let you pick whatever band you want for all the freaking money they charge you to go down there? So they're letting you save a stinking $8 off a band. You know what? If it is up to me, I will let them send me the free band because I know that actually costs them something instead of them finding a way to make money off me again. Where all the money you spend for booking these trips, and I book them all the time, and the amount they're spending, you're telling me they just can't say pick out whatever band you want instead of making these? And then if you don't pick out a band you want, you get stuck with one of the other ones. But no, let's find another way to make another family of 4, 16, 32, 64, 64. Let's find a way to make another $64 off you. Let's just turn you upside down and bleed you dry some more.
Are they forcing anybody to do that? Don't do it, John.
It's just, again, yeah, they are because mother and mom and dad for a visit that isn't addicted like we are would be happy with the basic bands. See, we're the ones that have 54,000 bands because we go all the time. But people to go once every 4 or 5 years would just be happy with those regular bands. But now they're going to send an email and show the kids they could buy an Anna and Elsa or an Olaf band, and they're going to freaking sell it to them. And that's what it's all about, John, because if they didn't have this option, the kids would go there. They would already have their bands. And when they get to Disney World, they're the last thing on their mind are those bands. They could care less about those bands. But before they go, it's just going to be one more thing that mommy and daddy's going to have to dig in their pockets for. And that's exactly what it's doing. Yes.
No, as soon as they get there, they're going to walk in that gift shop. And
no, they
see
won't.
That magic band
they're
going to
see stuffed animals, lightsabers, every damn thing else besides that. No. It's bullshit.
No, magic bands are the one thing that you're toting around with you your entire vacation. So I disagree. I think that
just give them
if anything, they're going
to
save you a couple of bucks. I mean, and certainly for me. I mean, I have no problem with it whatsoever because we spend probably buy two new magic bands every year. So it sounds great to me.
But,
so,
but you're the addicted one. You're not the guy that's trying to. Like
but
I said,
you're
going,
not forcing anybody to do it. If you don't want it, don't buy it.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly. Tell the kids that. You've never been in the store with the kid wanting something, have you, John? You do. You have, haven't you?
Yes, I have. Uh-huh. I raised a son, and he learned very quick that he does what I tell him to do, and that's the way it is.
Well, you're
so
lucky.
I'm sorry. I mean, if you don't want to spend it, don't spend it. That's the way it is.
Okay. What they need to find even more ways to nickel and dime you is what they need to do. What they should start doing, too, is as you go through the gates to get in the park, each one should cost a different amount of money. They should put a character in it so it's a meet and greet as you're going through. You get to walk by whatever character you want and charge for that, too. I mean, they're really giving all these ways away to pay for stuff. I mean, the charges for stuff. They're really making it. They're really losing money everywhere is what they're doing. It's sad. Yeah. It's very sad. I just think they should let you pick out a band. That's my opinion. For a $5,000 trip, they can afford
you do
to
get to pick out a band. You can pick six different colors.
Yeah.
And it's complimentary. Mm-hmm. So if you want to upgrade,
it ain't complimentary.
It is what it is.
When I
go to Circle K, I can buy a soda for 79 cents, and every time I go in there, they ask me if I want a Slim Jim for a dollar. I say no. It's real hard to say no, but I do. You know, I mean, come on. If you don't want it, you don't want it.
It's not the same, John. It's apples and oranges you're talking about there.
It is to me, man. It's the right of refusal. You have the right to refuse it. Nobody's making you do it.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, nobody's making you go to Walt Disney World. I mean,
no, they're not. But again, they're just, in my opinion, they become the greediest company on the planet, in my opinion. I have not seen them and Comcast, so they're made for each other. They deserve each other, is what they do. Those two are buying up the entire country and just they're going to own everything before we know it. Anything in communication is going to be Comcast, Verizon, or Disney.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. Entertainment's going to be that's going to be about 70% Disney by, well, I would say another 10 years or so. It's going to be about 70%.
Yeah. I mean, they own Fox now. They own I don't know how they're doing it. I mean, almost every intellectual property inside of Universal is owned by Disney now.
The Simpsons, Marvel.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing, Harry Potter. That's
not
it.
Not Harry Potter.
Yeah, they're not. Somehow they'll find a way to backdoor them and get that too, somehow.
There goes your, one of your cars that you saw on that special. One of your,
the amphibious boats?
Yeah. They come real close over here.
Yeah, Monkey Garage. Gas Monkey Garage. Speaking of cars, Tomorrowland Speedway reopens after 5-month closure.
I know you're happy about that.
Oh, yeah. More keep selling the gas, Disney. You're all in it for pollution. You're in it to save the world, but you're going to run these gas cars some more.
Yeah, that one boggles my mind. Why this wasn't switched over to... I guess propane would probably be a little dangerous, little combustible gases, because people are ramming each other in the back. But electric? I mean, why not electric?
Because it would cost them to redo the track. God forbid. Somehow.
No, you would think eventually that would save a lot of money, especially if they plug these cars in when they were off the track in solar power batteries. Don't you think that would end up saving a whole lot of money after a certain amount of time? I mean, I realize the initial investment would cost, but
it would. I think it would save them, especially they own that majorly huge solar plant down there now. Easy for me to say.
We came in on the 429 the other day to meet Judith for dinner at Beer Garden, and my wife looked over and said, "Oh, there's that solar plant, and there's that solar plant, and there's that solar plant." And we're going like 70 miles an hour, and there's that solar plant. It is huge. I mean, massively huge. So.
Oh, it is, man. It really is. I mean, I don't understand why they don't turn these into electric cars.
Yeah, this one I'm a little confused about. Why we still have gasoline engines out there. And not to mention, we finally got rid of the smoking section over there. Wouldn't it be great to get rid of the gas exhaust at the same time?
I was waiting for them to get rid of the smoking section and sign a deal with Marlboro.
No, Skoll would be better.
No,
Skoll.
But seriously.
And then Skoll and then dip cups.
I'm surprised they don't charge. I'm surprised they don't do a smoking section sponsored by Marlboro and charge admission to smoke in there. I mean, they're losing a money opportunity, John. They should. And, I mean, think about it. In front of every park, sell the sponsorship to Marlboro, and then just open a smoking session and charge like a dollar every time you go in and out through your Magic Band.
You'd quit smoking real quick.
And if you don't, Disney gets to make more money, you know.
Yeah, there you go.
The Tomorrowland Speedway at the Magic Kingdom is reopening today following the closure for the rerouting of the track to make way for the addition of the Trine Coaster. I mean, that would have been the perfect 100% opportunity for them to figure out what to do with this.
Well, not to mention they're putting in Tron in, which is, I mean, just regardless if you really care for it or not, but it's still kind of a futuristic space age type of attraction. So wouldn't electric cars make sense at the same time?
100%. And again, we wouldn't have to smell all that around the park.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just wish, and again, we've said a million times, to Tomorrowland Speedway, it's not tomorrow. It's really not. Am I wrong?
No. Like we said before, Autopia, when it opened at Disneyland, they were just opening the interstate system across the country, and they kind of figured, oh, this is cool. These new interstates are going to connect the country in ways that we never imagined and stuff like that, which I guess was the death of Route 66 and so forth. But nonetheless, I mean, so that was kind of a futuristic look at that time in 55 when they opened Autopia. But by 71, interstates were commonplace. So why even in 71 when they opened Walt Disney World would that be considered tomorrow? I mean, if anything, you know, I guess there is no place that would fit well. So
no.
I don't know why they had to open it. I mean, I have great memories of riding it with my mom. Mm-hmm. I have great memories of riding it with my son. But it really doesn't fit anywhere at Magic Kingdom anymore. So
no, it is cute. I remember from the first time me and Brenda went down, and you know, but I'm over it. Especially when they keep preaching this whole save the earth, you know, being climate friendly, you know what I'm saying, John, and then they're going to leave this thing run.
Yeah, and not to mention that, you know, you're in Orlando. If you really want to ride go-karts, there's a whole lot other a lot of other places where you can ride much faster, much more intense go-karts than Tomorrowland Speedway. So
100%. This is what Robbie wrote. Meanwhile, at Disneyland, all the parking lots were full. People ate their quick service meals sitting on the ground because there was no tables available. Ain't that nice, John? That ain't over capacity, is it?
Why was it so crowded?
I guess because it was the Star Wars land and everything out there.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then I wrote back, at Money Grub and Bob Iger, should start charging to sit on the ground. Disney should never miss a chance to make money, more money. They so need it. And then I put hashtag Money Grub and Bob Iger. So there you go, Bob. You should start selling tickets to sit down on the ground to eat out at Disneyland. He's missed an opportunity, John. Just leave more and more people in. I feel bad, dude. Do you know how crowded the Hollywood Studios is going to be?
Don't want to even think about it.
They're going to let every single last person in there. I might have to call the fire marshal to go get them to check capacity a couple
to
times.
Uh-huh. As cast members were standing around talking, we're like, "Oh, go away, just run away, just run away." There's actually people planning their vacations around.
Hey, dude, the bunch of us are going. Judith already, listen to me, I'm bumbling and stumbling.
Blah, 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 blah.
Judith already has plans to come down in the fall. A bunch of people are planning on. So I started looking at it. John, I don't know when I'm going to be able to come back down. There's nothing available. If I'm coming down, it looks like I'm going to have to stay in a house.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be packed. There's no doubt whatsoever. It's going to be very crowded.
Plus, I'm waiting also for them to black us out as travel agents anyway and not let me get tickets for that time of year.
Well, Doug, we're already blacked out, so you're not going to break my heart there. I mean, there's no way that as a cast member you're going to get into Hollywood Studios probably for the first 6 months. So.
But I don't even know if they're going to offer me tickets for the rest of the parks. You follow me? I don't know if that'll be available or not.
I wouldn't think that would not be available. I would think certainly Hollywood Studios is going to be blacked out. And by the way, if you and Brenda wanted to like camp out in my yard or something, I can, you know, charge you for that. And, you know, I'd take advice from my boss. So yeah, That'd be no problem.
Yeah, you should, John. I mean, I think my new T-shirts are going to say, pull up a stool. Even you, Money Grubbing Bob Iger. # Money Grubbing Bob Iger. Oh, dude, I would love to sit down with that man for about 5 minutes.
All right, don't expect me to wear one of those shirts out here.
Why not, buddy?
Yeah, it's okay.
Work to begin immediately on the new Epcot entrance with portions of Leave a Legacy to close. More money that they robbed from you, John, and you're never going to get back.
Oh, Lord, you paid for 20 years. You got your more than 20 years. How long are they supposed to leave those ugly things there?
Yeah, forever.
No. Construction walls will go up around Leave a Legacy this weekend as work begins on the new Epcot entrance design. New pathways, sweeping green spaces, and newly reimagined fountain will be a part of the new look. And as part of this new entry experience, Leave a Legacy photos will move into a new setting just outside the park's gateway. See, they're just good.
There you go, though. I apologize. What they're going to do, though, is they're probably going to send a bill to each and every person on that legacy wall to make them pay for the moving of the Leave a Legacy. I wouldn't be surprised if we get some feedback of saying that people got like a $30 bill in the mail to help pay for this.
While the photos will be staying, the granite columns will not be part of the new display. Construction taking place in phases, and the new Leave a Legacy will be ready in 2020. Work will first begin on the west side of Leave a Legacy through the summer, moving to the east side later in the year.
That does look beautiful.
And then they have an artist rendition of what the new entrance plaza is going to look like, and I'm looking forward to that. I honestly hate those friggin' stone granite friggin' gravestones. It just depresses me when I walk into Epcot. So.
Nah, dude, I liked Epcot before they went up, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, yeah, that acrylic fountain and stuff like that. It
dude,
was so
you felt like you were entering a graveyard.
Yeah, yeah. So it does, definitely.
Now, it looks 1,000 times better, but didn't it seem like you were going to a memorial or a graveyard or something like that?
Yes. Yeah, and Leave a Legacy. You're always wondering, did all these people die at Disney? And this is how, you know?
No, but the new entrance is beautiful, and it reminds me of – I remember the first couple years we went before that happened. Like, we went down during Christmas time, and when you would enter through the front gates, they had, like, the big, huge poinsettia trees. It was beautiful. It was all landscape beautiful before those big stones went in.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it look like that again. So, and especially at the different parts of, you know, the different festivals they have. So, imagine Food and Wine, Christmas, all Flower and Garden, they'll have special setups up through the entire area. So,
well, hopefully they do something to fix that damn security check there, because that's the worst one of all the parks.
It is currently, yes.
I mean, Dennis had a birthday going through it the last time we were there. He just celebrated one. He was going through, and he got celebrated his next one.
I guess we showed up at the right time. We showed up at 6 o'clock on Thursday and breezed right through the thing. So we got there but after the influx of the huge crowd, but before people started coming in for Illuminations. So
now, while we're still at Epcot, how good was the meal at Beer Garden?
If you like the food, you definitely have to like that type of food. If you like sausages and wiener schnitzel and potato salad and hot German potato salad and red cabbage, it's fantastic. But you have to like that type of food. What really irked me, Doug, and I don't know, maybe you
You're
disagree with this.
You're always complaining, John. Go ahead, tell me what irked you.
All right, is people who, regardless of it be Germany, Japan, Mexico, they'll put on Facebook or they'll put on Twitter, I have traveled extensively throughout this country and the food at Epcot tasted nothing. I mean nothing like the authentic fare I received in this country. Dude, it's not supposed to be exactly that type of food. It's supposed to be an Americanized rendition of that food. I mean, if you traveled extensively through Germany, do not expect genuine, authentic German flavors. You're going to get a Americanized, good version of German food.
And so. I will say, John, I mean, again, I think it's pretty darn close, and I think it would be. I just think they're pompous, you know what, so just want to complain myself. I mean, those, every restaurant in World Showcase, I have had a good meal at, to be honest with you. I've eaten at every restaurant in World Showcase. And even I talk about Restaurant Marrakesh, right? It wasn't my favorite, but I'm glad I did it. You know what I'm saying, John? It wasn't.
Yeah.
I like Spice Road Tables a million times better, which our friends, The Adventures of Peas and Carrots, Carmen and Brian, actually mentioned us last week on their vlog over at YouTube. They ate it at Spice Road Table, and they were talking about, and they really enjoyed it, and they said they would go back. And I love all the restaurants in World Showcase myself.
I think the two that I've had, actually three I've had somewhat disappointing meals with, and that would be Restaurant Marrakesh, and that's because they were apparently afraid of Chubby American, that he didn't like spicy food or something, because I had no flavoring in my food. So that one was disappointing. The one inside Mexico, it was good, but it wasn't spectacular. And the same Nine Dragons. Nine Dragons was good, but there was nothing extreme about it. But both of those, they make up for it with, actually, even Restaurant Marrakesh. They make up a lot of that mediocre food with just the ambiance. I mean, sitting right there watching Rio de Tiempo, what is it called now? Three Caballeros.
Yeah.
That's a special place. I mean, that is so cool just to sit there and watch the boats go by. So.
Well, let me tell you this, John, because I'm an expert on everything, which you do know.
There is no doubt, Doug. No doubt whatsoever.
And I need to find some more self-esteem in myself. I do, so I want to try here.
But, you know, I tell you constantly, don't be so hard on yourself, Doug.
I am, man. But if you know what the order, which me and Brenda kind of figured out now at Mexico, you know, we do know what the order there, which we do really enjoy, if that makes sense to you, to make it a very good experience. We've had some hit and misses, but like you said, the ambiance in there, you don't get any better than in that restaurant. It's beautiful, isn't it, John?
Oh, it's absolutely gorgeous, and I think when we ate there, it was several years ago, I think the problem we had was it is incredibly dark. So, and we didn't, you know, back in that day, back there before then there were smartphones, we didn't have a flashlight on our phone, so it was really hard to read the menu. It was holding it up to the calendar, the candle, and trying to tilt the candle the right way to see it. But nowadays, I'm pretty sure you could just put on your flashlight on your phone and you see whatever you want. So,
Me and Brenda, we've eaten it along the water a few times. And, John, it's just absolutely beautiful. I mean, I really love it there. I enjoy it. I mean, I don't eat there every trip, but I do really enjoy it. And like you said, Nine Dragons is absolutely beautiful inside. I mean, the restaurant is so elegant. So, I mean, St. Angelo's, I really like. You just need, there's just certain, like, I've had a mahi-mahi there, John, that was out of this world. It's just certain, when they have certain offerings and certain things, we know what we like that they have on the menu.
Absolutely. And those are the three that I probably liked the least, but I still had decent meals there. And then the rest of them, I really, really thoroughly enjoyed Chefs de France. I just ate at a month or two ago, and it was absolutely fantastic. And I was surprised because I was sure I was going to feel, you know, the French get a bad reputation, deserve it or not, for being snobs. And actually, they were very friendly, and they recommended the proper wine pairing and stuff like that. I didn't know if he was making snide comments in French behind my back, but nonetheless, it felt like he was being
very friendly.
They usually
do deserve it, but it's okay, John.
Yeah, so yeah, I actually love eating around World Showcase. That's probably one of the highlights of any trip. So
yeah, but I mean, like, even Nine Dragons, John, it's like, yeah, we have Chinese food around here, and like Dennis says it all the time, he finds it hard, but inside that restaurant is absolutely gorgeous. The waiters and waitresses are out of this world nice, if you follow me, John. Like, they go over the top to be nice. And there are, I mean, if me and you went in there, me, you, Lisa, and Brenda, and had a meal or lunch or dinner, we'd have a fabulous time in there, John. And the prices aren't that bad in there either.
No, the prices are not that bad. It's always easy to get a reservation. The one thing I would say, you know, like Dennis says, it's basically it. The problem I would usually have is it's the food that you can find at the local Chinese restaurant. Granted, it's going to be served in a much more elegant restaurant, and the quality is probably a little better than you would expect from your local Chinese restaurant. But I would love to see some choices that I wouldn't find at, you know, the local. And I think they started doing that. They have some steamed buns and stuff like
that.
So they're expanding their menu a little bit. So.
They do, John, but I'm not trying to be mean here, but dude, have you ever? I know you've gone to a local Chinese restaurant, and this ain't even being mean, but dude, you go to a local Chinese restaurant, they have 72,000 things on the menu, so it's kind of hard for them to put anything on this menu that isn't in your local. I mean, literally, no lie, my Chinese restaurant we go to has at least 150 things on the menu. Now, would you disagree with that, John?
No, but the one thing I'm looking for is Peking duck. And I haven't seen it there. And that's what I would be looking for, because Lisa loves duck, and I really want to get her to try Peking duck at some place. And no, they don't have it there. So
let me see. I got it up on the old computer right now. They have roast duck salad, John. So they own the Peking duck. They have something on here that I think I had this, but I don't remember if it was the same name, but it was really good. The Typhoon Shelter Shrimp. It's golden fried shrimp and fried shallots, garlic spice, and a touch of jalapeno. And that I had something with shrimp when I was in there. I don't remember what was that, but the food is good. It's just the ambiance. It's nice to go in there to experience the culture, and I recommend it. I think it gets a bad rap, in my opinion. And listen to me being nice to Disney.
And like you said, every waiter or waitress we've had in there has been out of this world, just top notch. So.
Well, I would even say this, John. Like, think about it. Okay, everybody wants to do food and wine, and Judith was a little disappointed in some of the stuff she had. So I can't wait to have her on. So I don't have to be the bad guy all the time. But like, let's say you did this. Know how everybody brags about wants to go to food and wine, and me and you always say, and I know I say it too much, but do food and wine without food and wine, because there's so many good things at Disney World. Like, I think the boosts stop you from enjoying the really good food around World Showcase.
Yeah, a lot of times, unless that's your goal is to go for food and wine and to try as many different things as possible. But yeah, you're not gonna try Spice Road Table and stuff if you're hitting the food and wine booth.
But I think you could try more good things if you did that. Like okay, say me, you, Lisa, and Brenda went Nine Dragons. Okay. We could go in and just do appetizers together and have a couple drinks. They have a cucumber salad, which is $7. They have pot stickers, pan-fried chicken vegetable dumplings served with soy sauce. Don't they sell pot stickers outside there too, John?
The Lotus Blossom Cafe,
yes.
Let's not say anything about that. That is probably some of the worst quick service I've ever had in my life.
But
so,
my point is, even at the China, they have a different booth and stuff during food and wine too, John. They do.
Yeah. I was talking about the little quick service place. No, that's not very good.
Okay. So, but my point is, they have pot stickers here for $7. They have spring rolls for $10, two handcrafted spring rolls filled with chicken, shrimp, and fish, vegetable spring rolls, which are $5, you get two of them, dumplings and chili sauce, which is $13, and they also have the pork belly bay buns, John. Steamed Chinese buns filled with braised pork belly served with original chili aioli for $10, and then they have General Chow's chicken bay buns. So you have two different kind of buns in Nine Dragons, where you could go in and actually get served for $10, and you're paying, and it's probably twice the serving as you're going to get at Food and Wine. Now, do you disagree with that?
No. And if you went in there with four people and you got like three appetizers,
it's a great time.
Hit Spice Road Table, and then maybe pick out one more place to just grab some appetizers. I think you'd have a super time, and you'd actually get table service instead of standing in those long lines and be able to sit in the air conditioning.
And you'd have a chair. Exactly, John. Air conditioned the whole nine yards. Sit outside at Spice Road Tables. Sit in there in the air conditioning. We're making our point that I think you'd be better off just going in here for some appetizers, John.
Yeah, doesn't sound like a bad idea.
No, and I think I'm going to do this next trip. Because I wouldn't mind trying those two bay buns in Bayo buns and the pork belly and the General Chow's chicken. I think that would be really good, don't you, John?
Absolutely. Yeah, the steamed buns that we've tried at the Food and Wine Festivals are some of our favorite things. So I think trying them inside would be even better. So
I think they'd be a lot fresher and made to cook, John, and made to serve instead of being ready waiting for you.
And maybe you wouldn't have to eat them in 92-degree heat. So.
Nah, good point, John. But yeah, I would like to try. Oh, I just fumbled a longboard, John.
Send one over here, would you?
I'm cracking open a moose head now. But anyway, no, I think that would be. I mean, you and Lisa for $20 would go and get pork belly bay buns and General Chow's for $20, and that would probably be a nice little meal for you, little appetizer, wouldn't it? So I don't know, but that's my thoughts. I think Food and Wine, you could do a lot better in a lot of these restaurants.
Yeah, I think maybe you're right, especially with I've not heard real good reviews of the Flower and Garden Festival this year.
No.
I've heard certain people with a lot of – or some good stuff, but just talking to Judith, like you said, I know she was very disappointed in quite a few things that she tried.
She was sure to go into Tutu Gusto and got two meals in there, her and her son.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they made up for it, and we hit that beer garden pretty hard. So,
no, I'm glad to hear that. I can't wait to get her review on it. What was your favorite thing you had, John?
I have a hard time trying to get the exact recipe for a hot German potato salad. So every time I go there, I kill the hot German potato salad. Out of all the stuff, that's the one I really like.
Now, idiot! Did I say that out loud? I didn't mean to say that out loud. I'm sorry, John.
Uh-huh.
Did you hear me say idiot?
Yeah, of course I did.
I didn't say it, I promise. That was an echo. It was from the TV in here. Why didn't you ask the chef or ask one of them for the recipe?
I've tried the recipe offline and stuff like that. I just can't make it the same way that I'm looking for it.
Next time you're at Epcot, walk in there and ask one of the waitresses to ask for the recipe. They'll give it to you. That's how I got the recipe for the bangers and mash, John. I actually got it. They gave it to me.
Yeah, they gave it to you, but Brenda's not going to let you make that, is she?
Yeah, she does. We make it once a year or so.
Once a year. All right.
No, once or twice. Dude, I'll be honest with you. I don't really want it more than that. I get it when I come down. I get it here. We like to make all different things. Like my wife just made this chickpea salad with balsamic vinegar and all. I mean, oh, my God, it was out of this world. It was really good with roasted red peppers and, oh, my God. And it was good.
Well, not to mention that's kind of your special meal, you know.
Yeah,
so you want to
exactly.
You want to be prepared for it when you get down there. So yeah.
Cooking filet mignons tonight. They're out there. They're marinating right now. We're gonna do filet mignon, mashed potato, and fresh string beans, and it ought to be a really good meal. But it's like I don't want it all the time, John. It's like, but a couple times a year I'm good with it. I enjoy it. I love it. But it, like you said, it does make it special. But you should literally just ask the chef for that recipe. I guarantee they would give it to you.
Well, that one and Lisa's favorite is the red cabbage. We're both, I think, 95% German ethnicity, and none of us have I mean, I cook pretty well, but I just follow basic recipes and stuff like that. I don't have any recipes from my parents, unfortunately, so I don't have a good German potato salad or a good red cabbage recipe. I wish I did, but yeah, so she loves the red cabbage. I love the German potato salad, and then all the other stuff is really good, but again, you have to like that type of food. I mean, don't expect to go in there and be blown away by the freshness of the chicken dish. You know, it's heavy, heavy dishes. So.
Well, the red cabbage I use with my fish and my fish tacos and the shrimp tacos I do, John, they are really good.
Well, that's the fresh stuff. We're talking about the stuff that's been simmering for about a day and a half.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'll have to give you some of them, John. I think Brenda's mom, have you ever heard of, Brenda's mom makes a cream cabbage. Have you ever had that?
No, but I'm not even sure that sounds really good. It's probably delicious, but
they love it. Like, I'm the only one that, like, cause I don't like coleslaw either. I'm not a big coleslaw
fan.
Okay.
Yeah. If it's close to coleslaw, I'm out. I can't stand coleslaw
but
for some
her
reason.
Her family absolutely loves this cream cabbage recipe, and they go nuts. Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs over it. John, but I haven't heard anything good about this year's Flower and Garden either. The only people I've heard anything good from is Jen and Scott. But I love them dearly, but I've never – I did. I'm sorry. John Scott, I can't remember where he was, but he did give a negative review on a restaurant. So I got to go back and watch some videos. But usually they're pretty positive, which – good for, you know, I'm not hating on them, but I haven't heard anybody, there hasn't been a ton of positive reviews about this year's Flower and Garden. I'm going to have to talk to Carmen and Brian because I know Brian did like quite a few of the beer flights from what I heard.
Okay. Yeah. So. I know Jason was disappointed. Judah's son was disappointed in the size of the beers, but that's what they are. So he was disappointed in no sizes, and then he got a hold of one of those leaders at Beer Garden, and that was a different story.
Dude,
so.
Those beers look bigger than both of you.
Yeah, he had the Bex leader, and I had the now it slipped my mind, but the big dark one. Yeah, and that was an incredibly good beer. So.
Oh, John. What, you don't remember what you had?
I'm going to look it up, so just keep yapping.
I don't. Dude, it's hard for me to take up airtime. You know I don't like to talk much.
I'm sure, Doug. I'm sure. You'll find a way.
Oh, dude. You're getting meaner and meaner to me, John.
Getting cynical in my old age.
Yeah, I'm on Beer Garden now myself. But anyway, where's the beers? Do they have the beers here, John?
Yeah, I'm sure they do. So let's see.
Yeah, I don't see them here. Yeah, I don't see them.
Yeah, I'll find them.
But anyway, I'm glad you guys had a good time. She said she wished she'd have did more of the.
Okay, so Lisa is one of those people that had ice water with her meal. I was a little disappointed there, but yeah, they have. A German beer flight you can get, which are 5-ounce pours. You get a Beck's Pilsner, a Warsteiner Dunkel, which is, that's what I've had. Koenig Ludwig Weissbier and a Schaffenhofer. The German white wine flight, so you get a Villa Wolf Pinot Gris, a J.H. Salbach Blue Label Riesling, and a Valkenburg Madonna Riesling Spatzel for $16. You can get a shot of Jägermeister for $10.25. They have a red wine flight. No, that's just choices. An August Kessler Pinot Noir and a Nursteiner Spielberg Dornfelder. So, and then the beers they actually have are the Schaffenhofer, which are the half grapefruit juice, half beer, the Weissteiner Dunkel, and the Beck's Pilsner, and the Koenig Ludwig Weiss beer. You can get those in the half liter or the liter. And so, of course, I had to have the entire liter of the Dunkel. I finished it, and we were going to hang out for another 15 minutes or so and watch the last show of the guys coming out and singing their song and stuff like that. So I figured I'd get, you know, half a pint or half a liter more, and I asked the waitress for it because Jason, God bless his soul, had already ordered another half pint of Beck. So I was feeling a little ashamed. I was behind. So I ordered another half liter of Warsteiner, and – she misunderstood me and brought me a whole other leader. I didn't actually finish it, Doug.
God bless you. Yeah. It sounds like Jason is definitely Judas' son if he can handle that much alcohol.
Yeah, he was napping a bit during Illumination, but yeah, it was pretty good. So,
yeah, speaking of napping, you guys called me. Judah tried to FaceTime me, and I was down putting tile down the shore all day long. I had like a 10-hour day putting 2 8-inch by 4-foot ceramic porcelain tile down. So, and I'm an hour and a half from home, which you know how that drive is, John.
Yes, I do.
By the time I got home, I took a shower. I laid across the bed, and you guys tried to call, and I was in la-la land, which I felt bad.
Yeah, so here it is, folks. Doug tells me, John, when you meet up with Judith, try to record something or YouTube or get something together so, you know, we can all blend together or something. So we were waiting for Illuminations, or actually Illuminations going on. I'm like, yeah, FaceTime Doug right now. She came up with the idea, and we call, and you don't answer. So, yeah, well, crash and burn.
It was 9:05. I wasn't out having fun with you guys. If I'd have been with you, I'd have been the life of the party. I know I would have.
There you go. And by the way, Doug, in my old job, that is, I did something on Thursday night I wouldn't have dreamed of doing, which is to go out to dinner at Epcot and actually get back home and go to work the next day. So,
God bless you. You're living the dream now, John.
Well, we'll see about that. But I need to make some money to finish the dream. But
yeah. Well, speaking of living the dream, the Skyliner testing at Epcot is online, John. You can't wait to get up there and bake in the sky, can you?
I'm looking forward to when they allow some cast members on there, and I'll see how hot it is.
Now, they are looking for transfers over there, too, aren't they, John?
Yes, they advertise constantly for it.
Man, that bird sounded like it was attacking you.
I'm looking for him. I'm going to chase him off if I see him. So.
The Disney Skyliners have been under heavy daily testing at Hollywood Studios, and now testing is underway on the remainder of the system. The Epcot line runs from Disney Riviera Resort, past the turning station near the Speedway gas station, and then past Boardwalk Resort into Epcot International Gateway. This is the longest single journey possible on the Disney Skyliners, with the ride time of about 9 minutes. Like in the early days of Hollywood Studios testing, the gondolas remain covered and protected wraps. Testing is also underway between Caribbean Beach and Art of Animation. Disney Skyliner is expected to open later this year, with obvious goal of having the Hollywood Studios operational for the debut of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge by August. I don't know. All I know is our friends Judith and Carmen and Brian stayed at Boardwalk, and man, they had some serious fun waiting for buses over there, John.
Yeah, I saw some of them tweets. Apparently, they took a while.
No, and it's sad. It really is. It shouldn't. I don't understand how, again, like I've complained before about how the monorail stops at the most expensive resort last, where everybody at the Grand Floridian usually has to stand. Now, isn't that pretty nuts, John?
I don't know. I don't know what other way you would run the line.
Why can't it go the opposite way once in a while? Why can't it start at Grand Floridian and end up at Contemporary?
I guess.
Everybody, the most expensive resort, you got to. I mean, and I'm just eating at the wave, hopping on the bus, because I don't stay at the Contemporary much. You know what I'm saying, John? I usually stay at Animal Kingdom or Riverside, or Contemporary isn't my favorite resort. I think it's beautiful, but it ain't my go-to. But it's my go-to on Magic Kingdom Day, so I usually book a breakfast at the Wave. And I hop on at the Contemporary. I'm not even staying at the Grand Floridian. I'm not paying the $5 a night. And we get there, and everybody from the Grand Floridian has to stand. Now, I think that's pretty bad.
I don't know. If you were at the Contemporary, you should have just walked over to the Magic Kingdom anyway. There,
don't you want to try the monorail? My mother-in-law wanted to take a ride on the monorail. My sister-in-law did. I mean, that's part of staying at Disney World, don't you think, John? We always say the transportation is one of the best rides on property.
Yeah, I suppose.
That's what we did it for. The girls wanted to ride on the monorail. So don't judge me, John. Don't be so judgmental. But the point is, dude, you get there, and all these people are getting on from the Flirty and standing up. I'm like, run more monorails, John. This way you could wait 5 seconds for the next one. How about that? And then just like, how do you think that it's right that the Boardwalk Yacht and Beach Club and the Swan and Dolphin all share one bus?
No, I've had problems with that myself. It's crazy.
I forget what what Carmen said, but I think Carmen said she waited like 45 minutes for a bus. Is that not ridiculous?
Yeah, that's an awful long time.
But, I mean, it goes in part. You're only paying $3-something a night. I mean, you should have to wait minimum of an hour and a half, John.
Well, there you go.
Carmen said out of spite she wasn't going to get an Uber just because she was so pissed off, is the way I took it. So, I don't know. I don't think it's right. I really don't. I don't think I every one of those resorts should have their own damn bus, John, in my opinion. You disagree?
Yeah, they should. And Swan and Dolphin, no offense to the people staying at the Swan and Dolphin, but they should be the last to be worried about. They're not official Disney World resorts. So, I mean, give them a bus, but they're not. They shouldn't be. They shouldn't. I mean, Doug, look at them. They get the covered thing for the boats.
They paid for it. I mean, they did it. They paid for it. They're better. They treat you better than either. I'll tell you what. I've been at all three. They treat you better. It's a better value for your money staying there because the rooms are nicer. The TV service is 10 times better. And like I said, we talked about this before. You get the friendship boat there. You're under a nice awning. You're comfortable. Nice breeze blowing through. You stand at the Boardwalk. You're standing out like getting fried on a stainless steel deck. How's that? I mean, that's nuts. And then over beyond Beach Club, you stand out next to a lighthouse and no cover at all. I don't understand it. No, they paid. They built their lighthouse, if you follow. I mean, they built their coverage over there, John.
Okay.
So, I mean, Disney didn't build that. I don't know. I just don't think I don't think those three resorts should have to share a bus, in my opinion. It's too much. More news on the Tron roller coaster on location with Imagineers at the Tron Coaster construction site. There's video out there if you guys want to go check it out. So, as you saw in our previous update, for the first of the steel columns are now in place, and this video offers a closer look at the progress so far. So head over to WDW Magic and check out the videos. It's pretty cool, John. And seeing the construction, it's pretty cool. I want one of those Disney
construction hard hats. You'll like the construction better than the attraction, won't you?
You're probably right, John. I'm probably too damn old to ride it by the time it's done. 360 video also available inside the Millennial Falcon Smuggler's Run chess room. You know anything about this, John?
No, but let's take a look. So Disney has... Disney has released a 360-degree video that lets you take a look around the famous chess room, one of several areas that you'll discover inside Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. The room serves as part of the pre-show holding room where you'll be able to explore before taking the controls in one of three unique and critical roles aboard the Millennium Falcon. Star Wars Galaxy's Edge will open May 31st, 2019 at Disneyland in California and August 29th, 2019 at Walt Disney World Resort. So, the chess room, Doug, I know you haven't seen Star Wars a gajillion times like some of us have. It's where I believe it was C-3PO and Chewbacca were playing chess, and Chewbacca's hologram basically tore apart C-3PO's. So it was great.
Well, they're getting pretty. I can't wait, John. I'm so looking forward to it. Just kidding. I really am. I think it'll be cool. I'll probably get to see it in 2025, to be honest with you. New tram drop-off and bag check opens at Disney Hollywood Studios. So they got this done. And also the signs are up at the signs are going up. They're covered, but they're up over at the gondola drop-off, too. So they're really – the front of Hollywood Studios is really starting to get in shape now.
Yeah, they finally got all the screes down in that cattle call. It was miserably hot in there last year, so it's good to see all that stuff down, and maybe that entrance will make a little more sense now. So
yeah, the location of the former bus stops, the new tram drop-off puts guests very close to the main entrance and easy access to the restrooms. If you guys remember when the buses used to drop you off all the way to the left-hand side, John, you remember that, John? And now that's where the tram pulls up now. So it really looks much cleaner, much nicer. It gives you – and you really are much closer now to the front of Hollywood Studios, which will help. Hollywood Studios is going to be a madhouse, John.
Yeah, so hopefully they look like they're preparing for the craziness of the crowd. So it is seriously going to be a madhouse.
Dude, I don't know. Do you think that Main Street's going to be able to handle the crowds? That ain't that wide. That isn't – I mean, it's kind of narrow like Main Street USA is. Do they have back areas that you could pop out of there? I hope they create them, John. Like behind – I know there's an exit over by Fantasmic, emergency exit area there. And
there's an exit there that they use sometimes if the firework shows and stuff get too overloaded. You can actually shoot right through there, right almost to the main exit. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how they handle the crowds.
No, I'm hoping, John. I'm hoping that they have another area where you can get out to behind maybe the opposite side, like go behind Indiana Jones or straight out. I hope they create another way out because I think that park's going to be pandemonium, John.
Yeah, you're probably right, Doug. You're probably right.
I usually am, John. We know this now. Tram Workout, House of Blues, celebrating all things bourbon throughout June, John, at Disney Springs. You want to read that one?
Sure. House of Blues, Orlando, Disney Springs, celebrating, well, since I'm right across the way from it. You know, literally, I parked at Disney Springs, Doug, and I'm about 300 feet from my car. But it was about a mile walk to get where I'm at.
I believe it.
I had to walk all through the golf course and through the Saratoga Springs to get over here. So I don't know if this was such a great plan, but House of Blues at Disney Springs is celebrating all things bourbon in June with a month-long bourbon fest from the 1st to the 30th of June 2019. House of Blues will feature cocktail specials, bourbon flights, and special events, including National Bourbon Day, Smokeout, and Father's Day Bourbon and Blues Brunch. Here's a rundown of some of what is on offer. June 1st through the 30th, Bourbon Fest. And they've got a menu. You get a bourbon flight. Select three. Maker's Mark, Knob Creek. Boy, I could have used this about a week ago, Doug.
You might have got a job, John.
Maker's Mark, Knob Creek, Woodford Reserve, Elijah Craig, Buffalo Trace, Old Camp Peach Pecan Whiskey. Sazerac Y, Templeton Rye. Cocktails, Maker's Mule, Maker's Mark Bourbon, Fever Tree Ginger Beer and Lime for $10. Frisky Whiskey, Woodford Reserve Bourbon.
Frisky Whiskey.
There you go. Luxardo Sango Morlocco, Lime Orange Simple Syrup for $13. Beast of Bourbon for $13. Knob Creek,
I
Chocolate
need
Bitters,
be
Maple Syrup.
Your Beast of Bourbon. Okay,
John. Nice. The 14th of June, National Bourbon Day. Specials on Jim Beam, Maker's Mark, and Knob Creek all day in the restaurant and bar, Courtyard and Smokehouse. You will have a single of Jim Beam for $5, a double for $9, Maker's Mark, a single for $6, a double for $11, Knob Creek, a single for $7, $13 for a double. June 15th, Smokehouse. From 1 to 4 in the afternoon, bourbon flights, barbecue, cigars, and live music in the House of Blues Courtyard. Smokeout in package available for $75 at the box office includes one bourbon flight. Excuse me.
One scotch and one beer.
Two cigars, smokehouse plate, choice to the chicken, brisket, pulled pork, ribs, or andouille sausage. One Hob whiskey tea and two Hob whiskey rocks glasses. A la carte also available. Corona Cigar Company pop-up shop will be on site if you're looking for those fancy cigars. June 16th, Father's Day, Blues and Bourbon Brunch, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the House of Blues Restaurant and Bar, featuring live music, brunch buffet, and a build-your-own fashion bar. Reservations available at 407-WDW-DINE. Full menu available at 11:30 a.m. Blues Brothers Special, fried chicken, toast, and a Coke. Complimentary Jake and Elwood sunglasses with purchase. Oh, boy. And so...
I'm happy they do these things, though.
Yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah, so if bourbon's your thing, I'm not a real big bourbon guy, so no, I like beer, and I'm starting to grow a fondness for wine, but that's about it. So.
Yeah, I can't drink much bourbon or whiskey. It makes me – I'm usually not an angry guy, but when I drink that stuff, it makes me.
I can imagine how argumentative you must get when you drink.
No, what happens, the worst one for me is Jack Daniels. My friends wouldn't allow me. It was like fire. I'm American Indian, so that's my fire water, Jack Daniels.
All right, you're allowed to say that because you are Native American.
Yes.
I can't say that. So.
No, it's my fire water, and my friends would keep it from me because, believe it or not, I had zero tolerance when I was on that. I was still happy. I was happy, but, like, I would take zero anything. Like, any crossword was done with me. You were done with me. It was like, I wasn't a happy fellow. So, I'm not allowed to drink that Jack Daniels, John. It's forbidden for me.
That's probably a good idea.
It is. Believe me. I know it is. I know it is. Like, half the fights I've had in my life to come with Jack Daniels. So, let me put it to you that way. But...
Well... Doug, earlier we were talking about eating around the world at Epcot. Takumite, the new place that Japan's going to open up soon. A new signature restaurant being built at the Japan Pavilion at Epcot will be named Takumite, which means House of the Artisan. Operated by Mitsukushi USA, which also operates the merchandise and restaurants in the Japan Pavilion. Disney describes the food as inspired by the wonderful collaboration between nature and Takumi, the artisan. Wagyu beef will be on offer along with a multi-course tasting menu with traditional tea service. Drinks will include signature cocktails, premium sake, and a wine and craft beer menu.
There you go.
Opening
craft
of
beer,
Takumite
baby.
Is set for this summer. So that sounds interesting, huh?
Yeah, it looks nice. The artist renderings look really good.
Yep, sure do. So.
Yeah, more food. Again, you don't need food and wine. Go to these restaurants. Patronize them. I think you'll get a better bang for your buck.
And again, you get people to serve you, and you're sitting in your air conditioning.
Yeah. Continuing at Epcot, Guardians of the Galaxy, the photos, the building just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, doesn't it, John?
Yeah, we walked past it the other day from the parking lot, and holy cow, it's massive. So it's going to be the largest indoor coaster in the world.
Yeah, it's what it says. Dude, I don't know how they're going to. The only thing I don't like about it, and believe me, I'm not trying to be negative about this, but I hope they really, really do something to blend it in because it does look like a sore thumb sticking out, doesn't it, John?
Yeah, when you're coming in from the parking lot right now, you can tell exactly where it is. It does not blend in real well, and if you're on the other side of World Showcase, you can tell where it is.
Yeah.
Right now, if you really have to kind of look for Soarin', because the Soarin' building, the show building for Soarin', is painted kind of a sky blue color. So it blends in really well. And I mean, we've all heard the stories of the Tower of Terror over at Hollywood Studios. If you're actually on the other side of World Showcase and you're looking at Morocco, the Tower of Terror sits in the back behind Morocco, and they actually did some of the side of Tower of Terror to actually blend in with the landscape of Morocco. So they're pretty good at this. So I'm anticipating that they'll find a way to actually blend it into the landscape. So
yeah, they should just paint the building black, be done with it. You know, it really does stand out. But anyway, I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be cool. These photos were taken last week. The majority of the building is now fully enclosed. Section of the coaster track ready for installation can be seen. To the far right, it says, you can see the track. When it opens, the rumored spring 2021 will feature a new coaster ride system and promise to be the longest enclosed coaster in the world. So there you go, John. And these ride vehicles do look pretty cool. So I just hope this old man is capable of riding it. That's all. I want to have my Dramamine and barf bag ready.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I love the whole Marvel universe, and these movies actually were a lot of fun, and love the soundtrack. So if nothing else, we're going to get some good music while we're waiting in the queue. So.
And they're also working on the Epcot tram system area, John. I mean, the only front of the park that's done now is Animal Kingdom and Magic Kingdom.
Magic
the
Kingdom,
other two
yeah.
are a mess now. Work is well underway at the Epcot tram area, part of the park arrival experience upgraded that are taking place property-wide at Walt Disney World. So you can see big holes dug up, and they got you all. The whole front of Epcot now is in disarray. Am I wrong, John?
No, it's pretty much a mess. And it's going to be a while. I'm looking forward to 2021 when all this construction around here is done. But then I'm pretty sure something else will get picked up, and we'll have to start working on something else. So
that's when Bob Iger cashes out. Money grubbing will be gone, so maybe things will be done then.
I don't know. Coming in to Animal Kingdom to work every day, I pass behind the Lion King show. It's in between the Lion King show and World of Avatar. There's a big construction spot right there that you can see from backstage. And you really can't see a whole lot from on stage, but walking past the backstage, it's a pretty good size of piece of construction. Do you know what that's going to be, Doug?
No, do you?
Yes, that would be the new Club 33 that's going into Animal Kingdom.
Oh, yeah. Money, 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 yep. money, money. Again,
yeah, there's no
I
doubt
play
about
that. I play that Mega Millions and the Powerball, and I'm telling you right now, John, if I hit either one of you, I can promise you I will not be throwing my money away on that. Again,
I would like to say the same thing, but I'd really like to go to the one in Disneyland. So.
I would like to go in there and try it, John. Don't get me wrong. I'd like to eat there, but I'm not going to get – like, I don't know what it is, what it's going to be, like, what, $30,000? It's a crazy number.
A whole lot.
Okay. I would literally rather – and this is the God's honest truth. I would rather go to a family that is struggling, that are working every day hard, and say, here's $30,000. Put your kids through college or pay off part of your house, then give them – 30 grand or whatever the hell it is, and then still have to pay for my meals. What sense does that make? It's just greed being greedier. Help your fellow man out. I mean, you do not need to join that club. That's just my opinion.
Doug, but again, the same point goes to us just going to Disney World in the first place.
No, that's over the top,
yeah,
dude.
It does. It really does. I mean, because you're saying your judgment stops at some point, but I mean, do any of us need to spend the amount of money? Do I need to spend the amount of money that I do at Walt
No,
Disney
but you
World?
Need a vacation Certainly every not. Year. You need a no, but it's a vacation going pretty much anywhere. But that's also like me joining. Like perfect example. If I hit the $1 gazillion tomorrow, I'm not going to go out and buy a Lexus instead of a Toyota. Like I bought my Honda, I'm not buying an Acura. It's the same car. I'm not just going to throw that extra away. I'd rather give the extra to somebody else who needs it for me. But that's just me. But I'm not judging you for being wrong.
Opinion,
I'm just saying where I stand.
Judge somebody else.
Exactly.
With money
you
for
go.
Club 33. God bless them.
You go do what you got to do. But myself, I would never join that. I'd rather help somebody else out if I had that kind of coin. And I'm not saying it's wrong. You do what you want to do. But it's just like I'd buy a Ford instead of a Lincoln. I'm not going to go buy a Lincoln Navigator when I could buy the Ford Excursion for $10,000 less just because I could say it has a Lincoln on it. But that's me. And that's how I'm saying you're wrong for doing it, but I wouldn't mind eating at Club 33, but I'm not going to throw that money away to go join it. And
well,
you call me an idiot.
I don't think I'd be allowed. I'm not classy enough to join it, so I think I'll be.
Yeah, me and you both got to stop eating with our, I can't even say that because I'm the craziest, pickiest eater on the planet, so.
Yeah, I don't think they would fall into that one. So
no, here's an update look at the new paint color scheme in Mickey Star Traders area in Tomorrowland at the Magic Kingdom. I think Tomorrowland really I love Tomorrowland, the way it's painted and the paint scheme. It's really beautiful there, John.
Yeah, it looks really cool with the oranges and the teals. But, I mean, it's starting to look into me with the, like I said, the oranges and the teals that somebody's like a massively Miami Dolphin fan.
Well, that's not me. That's not me. Oh, and here we go money-wise. Walt Disney Company's second quarter 2019 earnings report. shows continued gains in the parks and resorts. Show continued gains in park resorts. They're making 15. They made over 15%. Park entrances, park experience, and product revenue for the first quarter increased 5% to $6.2 billion, and segment operation income increased 15% to $1.5 billion. So Disney, read the whole article, but long story short, Disney's making money hand over fist, and they're going to charge you more money for. They want to get a little bit more from the Magic Bands. That's all I'm saying.
Doug, they're rich. They're real, real rich.
And they just keep getting richer. What else is new here, John? I'm going over to the other site.
Actually, I've got a story here for you.
Go ahead. All right.
Former Disney employee accused of stealing $7,000 worth of costumes from the Haunted Mansion.
Oh, Tom Mater.
He faced a charge of burglary.
My brother-in-law Mark actually asked me about that yesterday if I heard about it. So go ahead.
Yeah. He faces the charges of burglary, grand theft, and dealing in stolen property. From Orange County, Florida, a former Disney employee is accused of stealing $7,000 worth of costumes from the Haunted Mansion, according to an Orange County arrest affidavit. Do you want to say his name? I guess it's in the news, but anyhow, this
idiot.
Call him idiot. Yeah, of Winter Garden has been charged with burglary of an occupied structure, dealing in stolen property, and grand theft. He is accused of stealing the stolen property. The Orange County Sheriff's Office said it was able to make an arrest due to the tireless efforts of the, I love this name too, Sector 6. It sounds like they're just working for Disney or something. But anyhow, the arrest affidavit shows Spike, the idiot, is accused of using his Disney employee ID to get into the Magic Kingdom on July 31st of last year. He was caught taking a photo in the Utilidor area of the Magic Kingdom. This area is for employees only. And as we all know, you're not supposed to take pictures.
No.
On August 8th, Disney reported an animatronic was stolen from the Cranium Command attraction. Disney security investigators told authority that they were aware that this idiot was taking pictures backstage while employed and running a social media account showing backstage photos, which just shows what an idiot he really is. The affidavit shows Disney said this idiot had photos on his phone of other animatronics that were also stolen. On December 20th of 18, a judge signed a search warrant for said idiot. One of the photos was a piece of merchandise stolen from the Haunted Mansion, according to the affidavit. On April 26, 2019, officers made contact with the man who said he had bought the Haunted Mansion merchandise from Idiot, according to the affidavit. The man told police that Idiot said he had been able to obtain the items from Disney with permission, according to the affidavit. Obviously lying his giant butt off. So, but yeah, he's under arrest, and they haven't said yet whether they were able to to get back the Cranium Command guy and stuff like that. So I'm hoping they did, so.
Nah, it's just, how do you think you're going to get away with that, John? I mean, really? I mean, idiot is the perfect word. Like, how do you even think you're getting away with that?
Doug, the thing is, I worry all the time that somebody's going to hear you going money-grubbing Bob Iger, and I'm going to be fired from my job, much less selling stolen merchandise. I don't know how this guy thought he was going to get away with it. I really don't. Doesn't make any sense.
But it isn't you saying it, John. I am.
My
wife thinks it took 3 days for him to clean our room just because of me saying that. But, I mean, I'm wrong because my room should be clean, right, John? You'd be happy if you checked in.
No, certainly not.
You'd be happy if you checked in and milk and cheese was in the refrigerator, wouldn't you, John? You'd be happy about that.
If it was an unopened six-pack of beer, I probably wouldn't complain.
No. But you'd also be happy, too, if you was up on the shelf and there was multiple tags from a shirt that somebody else wore up there. You'd be happy about that.
No,
but anyway. Let's get into some new happiness. New breakfast and lunch menu items coming to Beer Guest Restaurant at the Magic Kingdom. Guests can now enjoy some new dishes and menu adjustments at one of Walt Disney World's most sought-after dining experiences. At Beer Guest Restaurant in the Magic Kingdom, 7 new breakfast and lunch items will be prepared and served with flair. The breakfast kit menu has added chocolate hazelnut crepes, a fresh berry compote, and a whipped cream Mickey-shaped egg and cheese dish served with applewood bacon and fresh fruit. For lunch, kids can now enjoy Feast a la Beast of braised red wine, chicken, bacon, mushroom, mashed potatoes, and sautéed beans. Adult menu sees the additions of sweet corn bisque. A large portion of kids feast a la Beast and cannellini bean cassolette featuring slow-cooked onions, red peppers, zucchini, eggplant, tomatoes, garlics, and thyme with white cannoli beans and toasted crostini served with a mixed spring salad. Several new salads have also been added to the menu, including citrus poached shrimp salad and grilled chicken salad. Salads are served with a red wine vinaigrette. The citrus poached shrimp salad comes topped with a sliced gold beets, julienned roasted peppers, haricot verts, pickled shallots, and grape tomatoes and carrots. Beer guest favorite, tuna nukusi salad comes topped with a seared ahi tuna, julienned roasted red peppers, haricot verts, grape tomatoes, roasted fingerlings potatoes, Kalamata olives, and poached eggs. So they've changed the menu, so head over to the website and check out the menu. I'm glad when Disney does changes, aren't you, John?
Yeah, it keeps things fresh, and maybe some of the dishes that weren't as popular as some of the other ones maybe get a refresher, and maybe they become the more popular ones. So it's always interesting to see what's dropped and what's picked up. So.
And I'm going on here. I know you got to get home, John, so we're going to end this soon.
Yeah, I've got another one for you here.
Okay.
All right, you know where Celebration is, I assume, in Florida?
Yes, I do. I dreamed of owning a house there one day.
All right. Well, they put in a fountain. And
even
the... so,
go ahead.
Celebration. Walt Disney World has been misspelled on a fountain in Celebration. Yes, the very little housing development that was originally owned by Disney, they put in a fountain and they spelled it the fountain or misspelled Walt Disney World. So this is like a I guess you would call it a Compass Rose or something, you know, with a it's a water fountain for kids to go play in, and then on the ground they have the different miles to different places and stuff like that pointing in direction. Well, for Walt Disney World they put WALD instead of Walt. Now, how do you work in Celebration and not know who Walt Disney is?
Dude, it's kind of the same, probably the brother of the same stupid person that didn't edit out the Starbucks cup in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet too.
Oh, dude, somebody got paid off for that, in my opinion.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on now.
Yeah, I mean, while we're talking about it, just to go to show you, and you said Starbucks, so there you go. So, any publicity is good publicity. So,
100%. Speaking of publicity, Toy Story 4 sneak preview coming to the parks and Disney Cruise Line on May 24th. So, there's going to be a whole lot going on about Toy Story, the new Toy Story movie at Disney. So, you got to let us know, John.
Yeah, interesting thing I saw on the Cast TV today while I was on break. We have a contest called Backstage Magic. I think it's called Cast Member Backstage Magic, and there's several different things you can enter to win. And one of them is a premiere for Toy Story 4 before anybody else can see it.
That's cool.
So I will be doing that tonight to try to get on there. So.
Well, at Walt Disney World, there's going to be a at Walt Disney Presents, there's going to be a sneak preview of the film over there. So they're going to show their clips over there. So go check it out. Speaking of movies, a new limited edition Aladdin Genie Magic Band now granting wishes at Walt Disney World. So you can go check that out. It does look pretty cool. It's like purple and black and gold. It's not bad looking, is it, John?
Yeah, it is pretty cool looking, isn't it?
Yeah, it's different. So maybe if you want to pay extra when you get into it, maybe you can order that one, John. And let me see. Pink Mini Ears cupcakes arrive at Contempo Cafe and the Contemporary Resort. If you want to go get your pink cupcake, it's over there. New Bippity Boppity Boutique exclusive Magic Band released at Walt Disney World. So that's pretty cool. You could add another 20-some bucks to the whole Bippity Boppity Boutique experience. What would I take it? An even 500, John?
You might as well. I don't even know. It's so expensive.
There's so many options. I'm just kidding. But they do have a special magic band if you're your beautiful princess does that. Droid Tracks will lead guests to special photo op and interactive scene inside Droid Depot at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. That's pretty cool, John.
Yeah. Did you see the pictures of the Disneyland castle unveiled? It looks really pretty. A nice refurbishment done on it.
It does look pretty, doesn't it, John?
They clean
the old girl up.
Yeah, and just to irk some of our Disneyland listeners, it was so cute. It's so cute and quaint. So there you go.
Picking on how little it is, John.
Yeah, perhaps.
Size doesn't matter, John. It's how beautiful. You know what I'm saying. Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, to get our hands on a DJ R3X as soon as it opens. But new interactive elements revealed for the shops have been thinking we will be spending far more time in there than we think. So they're going to have all kind of stuff at these droid depots at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. A recent article by the Mercury News details how special droid tracks were made throughout the grounds of Black Spire Outpost, leading guests right to Droid Factory Shop, where they can also meet a bunch of audio animatronic astromech droids lined up in front of the workshop for photo ops reminiscent of the scene in Episode 4 with the droids stacked up sails inside a Jawa manned sand crawlers. So, John, you're going to be in love with this whole place. Speaking of buying things, our friend Judith is over at Universal Studios, and she was in line to buy a wand, John. So she's already a Universal nut now.
Well, she's going to buy a wand, but you saw the other day what she bought at Epcot after our beer garden meal, did you not?
What was that? Go ahead, tell everybody. Yeah, everybody needs to know.
She got her Tinkerbell wings. She was very proud of them. Nah. Prancing around the front of Epcot with her Tinkerbell wings on. Her son was just tickle pink to hang out with her.
Oh, she didn't put them on him, so I guess he was okay, right, John?
Anything? Judith has a lot of fun, so she's a hardworking nurse, so she deserves to cut loose every once in a while.
God bless her. God bless her. She's a sweetheart. She's one of our favorite. Well, we say she is our favorite. I can't say one of our favorites. She's one of our favorites. She'll get hurt. She's our number one fan, she says, but we love her dearly. Any more news on WDW News today?
I'm looking through. I don't see a whole lot new other things that are going out that's real exciting.
What about Coronado Springs has new cast member outfits? You guys head over there. We knew that was going to happen with the new tower and all going up. I figured they'd spruce up their uniforms, not their costumes. So you have me saying that too. Uniforms.
Well, let's just hope that maybe somebody might be in one of those in a couple of weeks. That would be great, wouldn't it?
Oh, it would be phenomenal, John. I know you'd be happy.
I would indeed. So, and I'll call it whatever the heck you want me to call it, or what he wants me to call it if I get over there.
Yeah, I'm just browsing through. I don't really see much else, John.
All right. Well, here I am at Disney Springs. I haven't eaten all day. I had a thing of crackers and a granola bar. So I'm looking to grab something before I head home. I don't want to spend more than $12. Where should I go?
Good luck, right? Yeah, you don't want to spend more than $12. That's really a rare number there, John.
Yeah, I think I might have to hit Tijuana Flats on the way home. I could get a great burrito and a beer there for about $13. So it's hard to beat.
What about the sausage place there, John?
Yeah,
or
there's
the Polite
that
Pig.
Place, and then Lisa.
What about Deluxe Burgers?
Poutine.
Yeah, poutine. What about Deluxe Burger?
Yeah, that should be around that price. I don't know what Blaze Pizza is.
Yeah, that was the other one I was going to say, Blaze Pizza.
Yeah, so I'm going to walk through Disney Springs on the way back to the car, and I'll take a look at all those and see if I think I could get a decent meal there. I mean, I'll go for less than 20, but I know the thing is, I know I can stop at Tijuana Flats on the way home and get a fantastic taco and burrito for a really good price. So.
But it won't be the Disney.
Exactly. I can sit out here at Disney Springs and have something before I headed home. So,
yeah, I mean, I would probably Yeah, you could probably get a decent pizza over at Blaze. What if, oh, John, what about Wolfgang Puck Express?
Are the, yeah, because the one over on the original side still open.
Yes.
Yeah, because I could get something in there.
Yeah, because they have the new Wolfgang Puck Bar and Grill, but the Wolfgang Puck Express is still open. I bet you get a good deal over there.
Yeah, I'm gonna walk through, check it out, and see what items I could grab. So
I'm thinking that's your jam over there, Wolfgang Pox.
Sounds like winter.
We love Wolfgang Pox. Me and Brenda.
Yeah, speaking of not having a bad meal anywhere, I've never had a bad pizza from Wolfgang Pox or any of the other items. I have to be I hate to do it to you, but I have to be honest with you. Their meatloaf is not what I thought. Everybody claims their meatloaf is the best thing in the world. I wouldn't say it was bad, but it's just not what I was looking for in a meatloaf. But their pizzas are fantastic. I absolutely love their pizzas. So.
Well, where did you get the meatloaf? The Express or in the restaurant?
The Express.
Okay, they're different. The one in the restaurant is out of this world. I mean, I think it's one of the best meatloafs I've ever had because I've gotten it multiple times. But the one at the Express doesn't taste as good as the one at the restaurant itself. So I will tell you that.
Yeah, and I don't know. One of the I hate to let everybody know Lisa's a good cook. She's not a great cook, but one of the recipes that she does really well is meatloaf. And I've tried the one at Wolfgang Express. I've tried the one at Grillsmith down here. I've tried the one at the Big River Brewery at Bond Boardwalk, and none of them are as good as Lisa's meatloaf that she can make for a quarter of the price. So, and it's meatloaf, you know. I mean, don't overthink it. And sometimes I think some of these restaurants overthink it a bit much. So.
Nah, their meatloaf there is out of this world, John. It really, the one at the restaurant is really good. The other one that's really good too is, did you ever have it at 50's Primetime?
Yeah, I did enjoy the one at 50's Primetime. Actually, I had that whole sampler at 50's Primetime, which is some of the best home cooking you can get. I had the pot roast and one piece of fried chicken and the meatloaf. So, yeah, that's a meal right there. So.
Yeah, the meatloaf at 50's Primetime is really good. I've made that actually here a few times, and it's really, really good. So, maybe head over to Wolfgang's, John.
Yep, we're going to go check it out, see what happens. So...
But anyway, guys, thank you for joining us again this week. If I offended anybody, I'm sorry, because I don't remember half the stuff I say when this show's over, so I apologize. I just get on my rants. But no, guys, anyway, everybody be kind to one another. Thank you guys for listening. Please head over to iTunes and leave a review. If you could, please go visit John at the Lion King. Right, John?
Absolutely. Always looking for new people to come up and say hi and take a picture. If you do, don't. I'm not trying to be rude at any point. Sometimes on some of the positions, I'm in a rush and I have to take care of other things. But I'll always be happy to say hi to you. And if you want a picture, please have your camera, because I can't use my own phone to take a picture. And I'd love to get a picture with as many people as possible. So it'd be a lot of fun. So.
Now, I really get happy, John, when I see you meeting with a lot of the friends of the show. It's really awesome.
Yeah, it gives us a actual personal one-on-one connection with the people that listen to our show. So it's great. So.
Nah, it was cool. Like this week, you got to see Carmen and Brian from The Adventures of Peas and Carrots. You got to see our friend Judith with her son Jason, and then you got to see your buddy. I mean, it was really cool that you got to see all those people.
And folks, if you come up and say hi and stuff like that, do me a favor and post a picture so that we can share it out there and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'd love to meet as many people as possible. So
you know, John, I got it up here now. Margarita pizza's $12.50. Roasted mushrooms is $13.50. The classic parmesan is $11.50. Pasta and goat cheese is $13.50. Barbecue chicken's $14. Meatball and pizza is $14, and the pepperoni is $13.75. So,
they got rid of the absolute best one that I loved.
Spicy chicken.
Nope, the roasted vegetable. I absolutely love that roasted vegetable. It had artichokes, tomatoes, I think spinach, and maybe zucchini on it. And it was absolutely fantastic. So, but yeah, all the other ones are good too. But man, I could really kill that freaking vegetable one. So.
Oh, they got a bacon.
You didn't think that, did you? You didn't think that Doug did not think that John loved that vegetable pizza, did you?
No, so, I know you. I know you like your veggies, John. I'm not going to judge you. I judge you on beer, but not veggies. But anyway.
Well, looking at that Warsteiner Dunkel that I drank. Yeah, there's some serious judgment there.
Yeah, but they have a bacon-wrapped meatloaf, provolone, crispy onion rings, horseradish cream, port wine, and sauce. And it's a sandwich for $15, John. Bacon-wrapped meatloaf.
That does sound pretty friggin' good, doesn't it? Sandwich.
Bacon wrapped meatloaf, John. I think you should go try that.
I don't even know if I could drive home after eating that.
I bet you could. But anyway, guys, thanks for listening. Thanks, John, for being dedicated to the show and sitting on your butt on a cement floor over at the Springs in a gazebo. And again,
actually, it was really nice out here. So. It's warm today, certainly warm, but the humidity is low, so it wasn't bad at all. So.
And if any of you drive an Acura, a Lincoln, or anything like that, I don't mean to offend you. I still love you. Or a Lexus, I love you.
If you're a member of Club 33.
It's just Doug being Doug. I'm just saying I would never do those things. And I'm not saying you're wrong for it. This is just my idiot. This is an opinion of an idiot. All opinions are by Doug Davis and only by Doug Davis. John is not affiliated with those opinions, are they, John?
Most of the opinions. Some of them I do happen to agree with.
Okay. So. We'll leave you out of Money Grub and Bob Iger for now.
Leave me out of that one.
Yes. So. All right. Anyway, guys, we love you all. Have a safe week. We're looking forward to talking to you next weekend. Have a happy Memorial Day coming up, and we will talk to you real soon. Say goodbye, John.
Bye-bye, folks. Have a great week.
Bye, guys. That's it, guys. We're going to pay our tabs, hop off our stools, and head on home. But we really appreciate you guys listening. If you could, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. Also, if you could, follow us over on Twitter at WDW Main Street. You can find John at Beer Solo. You can find me at good old Grumpy6767. And you can find us all at our website. It's all in WDW. Everybody be kind to one another, and we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.